And so today we're going to continue in that as we see in your top of the note-taking guide. Our verse is Matthew 2, 10 through 11. So we raise our hands, we bring our gifts, we pour our heart, and today we bend our knee as a way of worshiping the Lord. We bend our knee. That same story of the Magi continues in verse 11 and 10 and 11. It says this: when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When they saw the child, their response was to bow down. We've talked about what do we do in response to experiencing the Lord. In response, we raise our hands, we bring our gifts, we pour our heart. But you notice once the Magi saw the Christ child, the King of the Jews, their response was naturally to bow down before him. And it's interesting, though, we don't often see that type of response in our society today. Maybe in different countries around the world, but I think in our culture today, we don't really see the act of bowing down in reverence and worship exhibited a lot in our culture or in our churches today. So either we don't see it a lot, or when we do see it, it's kind of, it just usually makes us uncomfortable, or it's done out of context, or it's done in a way that isn't necessarily maybe appropriate. But we're going to dive into this text of how we can really worship him, and how a natural biblical response to worship is by bowing down, bending our knee to him. I remember I loved speaking about this message because in high school I was a pastor's kid. I still am, but I was a pastor's kid then. And growing up, pastor's kids, I don't know if you knew this, but they had a bad reputation because they were always the ones that would rebel against their dad and didn't want anything to do with their mom or dad's church or religion. But for whatever reason, I was the opposite. I loved the fact that I was a pastor's kid. You know, I just ate it up. It was my identity and it was who I was. And so I was so excited about my faith as a teenager. It just kind of exhibited itself kind of in weird ways sometimes. And so I remember having this period of my teenage years where I thought to really show people that I was a Christian, I had to do things that would make me uncomfortable. You know, I'm a real Christian. I have to do things that are out of my comfort zone. And you know, one of those was bending and bowing down and kneeling. And so I've never told anybody this in public, but what I would do, I would feel so obligated as a teenager to bow down and just kind of pray in the most weird spots. You know, I remember in high school soccer games, like seconds before, I know you're all looking at me like I'm crazy. Seconds before the soccer game would start, I would kneel down on the field there and I would start praying. And I feel so bad for my mom and dad right now because they're in the audience and everyone's like, whose kid is that? What are they doing? But I remember that went on for a few games, and I remember I was so passionate about my faith. And so I would kneel down. I wasn't afraid of what anybody thought about me or anything like that. And I remember that happened a few times, and my dad came up to me finally, bless his heart, he had to basically tell his son, you know, don't feel obligated to do that. You know, you don't have to always do that. You know, there's ways to worship the Lord, and there are times where it may not be appropriate. And it finally clicked in me that I was not exhibiting this bowing down in a proper way. It wasn't manifesting itself in a way that was helping anybody or helping me. And I think that's our society. We either don't see it at all, or we see some worship that doesn't help the other person or help themselves, especially regarding bending the knee. But it is a biblical way we can worship. It is an appropriate way we can worship. In fact, it's a natural response when we experience God to want to bend down before him. It's an appropriate physical act of worship to bend our knee. We see that the Magi did just that. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him. The next verse in your note-taking guide is Psalm 95, 6 through 7. It says this: come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flocks under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. Come, let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. So why do we kneel and worship? What's the big deal? A question that we've been asking every week. What's the big deal? Why do I need to raise my hands? Why do I need to bring my gifts? Why do I need to pour out my heart? And today, why do I need to kneel? God doesn't look on the physical outspoken parts of us, of what we do on the outside. God judges the heart. You know, I don't need to kneel down. I can worship the Lord by sitting, standing, walking, whatever. I don't have to kneel down. It's not the posture of my body, but the attitude of my heart. For God judges the heart. So why do I need to kneel down? It's not a vital part of worship. God doesn't necessarily care if I kneel down before Him. Some of us say that, and that's a good argument. But I'm here to argue today that bowing down and worshiping with bended knee is a vital part and will aid in our worship to Him. We see that to kneel down because He's holy. Because He's holy. You think of holy moments in Scripture when Moses wanted to see the Lord. The Lord said, "No, no, you can't see me. If you look directly at me, you'll die. For my holiness is so present. And so what I'm going to do, Moses, okay, if you want to see me, I'm going to cover your eyes because I'm so holy. And then when I pass by you, I'll take off my hand from your face and you can see the backside of me." The holiness of God is something that when we experience it, just like the Magi did, a natural response is to bow down before Him. Because of His holiness, we can't help but kneel. Our response is to bow down, to lower ourselves before something so holy, to proclaim with a physical act that, "Lord, may You increase in my life and may I decrease. Your will be done, not mine. May people see You in my life and not me. Your will, not mine." And so we lower ourselves before a holy God to proclaim His will in our life. May people see the Lord, not us. Our bodies also are an outward image of an inner spiritual condition. Our bodies reflect what's going on inside. And so if we bend our knee, a physical act, it's a reflection of what we're doing inside of our heart. If we bend our knee, it's a proclamation that our hearts are humble before Him, willing to do His will. So it's very important to do that. Also, sometimes, as you may know, when we do something physically, the heart and the emotions follow. So maybe you don't feel like raising your hands, maybe you don't feel like kneeling, but when you do, what that does is it sets your heart in motion to follow. It's a very important thing. Our physical position influences our inner condition. And so maybe we don't feel like it, but if we do it, it will condition our hearts to come before Him humbly. Our physical position influences our inner condition. Kneeling can deepen our humility before God. Bending our knee can increase our awe of who He is. When we bend down before Him, we humble ourselves and proclaim, "Lord, less of me, more of You." It is a beautiful way of worshiping Him. And when we experience Him, a natural response is to bow down before Him. So let's bow down before Him in our worship. Let's raise our hands. Let's bring our gifts. Let's pour our hearts. And today, let's bend our knee. So that's why we do it. It's a very important part of our worship because He's holy. But how and when do we do it? So I just thought of some five things of when we can kneel. When do I kneel? When is it appropriate? Not on the soccer field or in the middle of a high school hallway or something, but when is it appropriate to kneel? I think the number one that I came up with is it, when do I kneel? Kneel in repentance. The proper time to kneel is in repentance, to come before Him humbly in repentance. We see this beautiful example in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 8. It says this, "When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, 'O Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you.'" What has happened is Peter and his fisherman buddies have been fishing all night, as you may know the story, and they've been fishing and fishing and catching nothing and nothing and nothing. So they finally come in the early hours and they put up their boat and they're washing their nets. And Jesus says, hey, can I borrow your boat? And Jesus goes out and he's preaching from the boat. And Peter's there just kind of sitting to wait for him to be done so he can go home and sleep after a hard night's work. And so after he's done preaching, Jesus kind of looks at Peter and he says, "Hey, let's try one more time. Put your boat out in deeper water." And imagine Peter saying, "Look, I'm the fisherman here. I know what's going on. There are no fish out right now. We've been out here all night. But what he does say is not that. He says, okay, well, I'll try it. As you may know, the story goes, the moment he puts the nets in the water, fish everywhere. And this is when Peter says this. When Simon Peter realized what had just happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you. May the realization of who he is bring us to our knees. When we realize who he is, when Peter realized what had just happened, his natural response was to get on bended knee. So may the weight of our sin bring us to our knees in repentance to him. But it's interesting, God did something so kind and amazing and awesome. I mean, God basically just supplied this man's income for who knows how long. Supplied income, supplied his food, everything. And his response to that was to bend and repent and say, oh Lord, I'm a sinner. That was his response. Why is that? Why is it that when we experience Jesus in a powerful, loving, kind way, our response is to repent? Because the next verse in Romans 2:4 says this, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? What brings us to our knees is the fact when we realize how good and how holy and how loving and how patient and how kind and forgiving he's been to us. And when we experience that, and just like Peter, when we realize what's happened in our life, our response is to bend down and repent. So may the weight of our sin, in light of how holy he is, bring us to our knees in repentance. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. We see this with Peter, bringing Peter to his knees and confessing. Number one, may we kneel in repentance. May the weight of our sin today bring us to our knees. Some of us today, at the end of the service, that may be what you need to do. When you kneel, it's in repentance. In light of how good he is, you realize you need to confess some things. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. That's number one. We kneel in repentance. Number two, we kneel in pursuit. Sounds kind of counterintuitive, but we kneel in pursuit of him. The best way to follow and seek and find his will for our life is to get on our knees and pursue him. We see this in Scripture. We kneel in pursuit in Mark 10:17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In searching, this man got on his knees. In searching for truth and what he needed, he got on his knees. He had everything he wanted, this rich man, but when he realized he didn't have what he needed, he got on his knees and sought after God. We want to seek his face. We want to seek his will. We want to seek what he has for us, where he's leading us. We want to seek eternal life. You may have everything you want, but when you realize you don't have what you need, may our response be, get on our knees. Kneel in pursuit. It's a beautiful thing to seek God on our knees. Kneel in pursuit. That's number two. Number one, kneel in repentance. Number two, kneel in pursuit. Follow after God as this rich young ruler did. He got on his knees. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And number three, kneel in request. Bring your requests to God. Bring everything, as we talked about last week, pour out your heart to him. And do it on our knees, recognizing his holiness and proclaiming our humbleness. We bring our request to him. Mark 1:40. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. He said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And what we see here is not him kneeling in adoration, but it's kneeling in supplication, bringing his request before God, begging on his knees, Lord, you can do this. If you're willing, please heal me. Bring our request to God on our knees. We bring our request to him. And when life gives you more than you can stand, then kneel. Allow the burden to bring you on your knees and seek Him. Bring your request to Him in a humble position of kneeling. Kneel in request. You know, we don't see this often, kneeling in request, except for very few times in a man's life will he kneel down in request. It's when he goes to his girlfriend and he gets down on one knee and he requests her hand in marriage to be with her. Now this is me getting on one knee, but I want to kind of brag on myself there. You'll see that I have ice skates on, and Ashley has ice skates on too, but she's just standing there. I had to do the hard part, and in front of tons and tons of people with ice skates, everyone looking at us, I had to figure out how I could maneuver down on one knee. I mean, I was nervous as is, then to add the ice skates in front of everyone in New York City, get down on one knee, and then try to propose to my then girlfriend. But that's what we do when we want something so badly. We get on our knees in request of it. God says, come to me. Bring your request to me. And we see this man with leprosy suffering so much that he's willing to come on his knees. And he says, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. But Scripture is very clear to make it known that a man with leprosy came and knelt. He knelt in request. Some of you today need to kneel before the Lord and request something from Him. Maybe you're dealing with something that you need help with. Maybe something that is ailing you physically or spiritually or emotionally, and you need to request His touch. A beautiful way to do that is on our knees. Kneel in request. Kneel in request. Some of us today need to kneel in repentance. Some of us today need to kneel in pursuit. Some of us today need to kneel in request. The next one is very important for us. It's kneel in intercession. Intercession is a beautiful thing, praying on behalf of someone. And a beautiful way we can do that is by interceding for them on our knees. One author says that Satan trembles when the weakest of saints is upon his knees. There is power when we are on our knees. God honors us when we come to Him on our knees. And so some of you today need to kneel in intercession for someone that you love. Someone maybe that may not know the love of Christ just yet, or may have wandered off, or may be dealing with some physical ailment, or whatever it is, you know you can come to the Lord on your knees and intercede for them. We see this in Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father. This is Paul saying, hey, people in Ephesians, I've been praying for you, that you will experience the strength of the Lord. And for this reason, I get on my knees, he says. Praying for you, interceding for you, on my knees. It's a beautiful and appropriate thing to be on your knees, interceding for someone that you love. God honors that when we intercede, when He intercedes, when we are on our knees. It's a very important aspect. It's a powerful way of worshiping Him, kneeling in intercession. So that's four right there. When do I kneel? We kneel in repentance, we kneel in pursuit of Him, we kneel in request of Him, and number four, we kneel in intercession. And the last one is honestly difficult to talk about. And I had this message planned way before this happened, but some events happened this week that really just sent chills down my spine when I heard this story. And number five, it really just gave me chills. When I knew I was speaking on this topic, and then a week ago Sunday night, we were all made aware of horrible, tragic events where these 21 Coptic Christians were beheaded. And there's many pictures, I'm sure maybe you have seen them, but the pictures that we see are these Christians on their knees. And again, I had this message planned out way before I saw this. But then when I was going through number five, it gave chills down my spine. Because when we need to kneel is sometimes we need to kneel in submission to Christ. We need to kneel in submission to His will and who He is. And again, it was almost eerie when the verse I read almost echoed what I think was going on with those Christians there on the beach. Read with me Jesus' experience on his knees. In Luke 22, 41 through 42. "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and began to pray, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.'" And as again, many of you have seen the pictures of these Christians on their knees with their enemy behind them, I love to think of that as they're on their knees, not in submission to their enemy. Although physically, maybe their enemy made them get on their knees. The reason they're on their knees is because their faith and devotion to their Father. The followers of Christ are on their knees in submission to God. They're not submitting to man. They were submitting to their faith in Christ. That is what led them to this point. And they were faithful in submitting themselves to God, even unto death. Many reports have said that the last few words they were saying were just repeating Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the last word they saw was the next person they saw. And they saw him because they knelt down in submission to him. When we kneel down in submission to him, I pray we will never have to face what they did. But God does call us to submit our life, our will, everything about us to him. And there'll be times, just as Jesus was kneeling down before the Father on his knees, saying, "Lord, if there is a cup, if you can take this cup from me, please. But not my will, yours. I submit my will to you, Father." That is what Jesus said. And I imagine these Christians were saying, "Lord, if there's anything you can do, please get us out of this. But I submit my life to you, and I'm willing to die for you." And they did. And again, I pray we never have to face that. But we do face daily choices to submit to his will or to ours. The best and appropriate place to do that is on our knees before the Father, submitting not to man, but to God. Because kneeling, I think, kneeling before God gives us the strength to stand. When we kneel before God, we can then stand before men. Kneeling gives us the strength we need. And so as an act of worship, may we kneel in repentance. May we kneel in pursuit. May we kneel in request. Some of you need to kneel in intercession. And all of us need to kneel in submission to him. A verse that we all know is Philippians 2, 8 through 11. And it's very clear that it says, one day we're all going to bow down. One day every knee will bow down. Doesn't matter who you are, we will all come face to face with the realization that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and we will all bow down in his holiness. We have a choice today. We can either bow down now or we can bow down then. But one day we're all going to bow down. So may we, as followers of Jesus, may we bow down to him. May we kneel down in worship. I want to read Philippians 2, 8 through 11. "And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." One day we're all going to bow down. So we can bow now or we can bow then. Let's bow now. And so as we close in worship, I want all of us to be able to kneel by doing one of those five things, maybe more than that. But as the worship team comes and plays and we have a moment of prayer, how do you need to kneel? Do you need to kneel in repentance? Do you need to kneel in pursuit? Maybe you need to bring a request to God that's been burning on your heart. Maybe you need to kneel in intercession for someone you love. Maybe you need to kneel in submission. because you've been trying to do your own will and make your own plans. But maybe you finally need to submit to His plans and His will. A beautiful way to do that is on our knee before the Lord. So the altars are open. You can turn and do it in your seat. Or do whatever you can to kneel before the Lord in worship. Psalm 95:6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. Let's worship Him today by kneeling before Him in one of those five areas. Let's worship Him.